Well, if you have your Bibles, could you please take them out and turn to the Gospel of John? This evening we will be continuing our series in John's Gospel by looking at John chapter 6, verse 48 to 51. John 6, 48 to 51. I had planned to preach from verse 48 to verse 59, but as I sat in my study preparing this message, I quickly realized I probably have a sermon just in these first three verses. There is so much in this passage. And as I mentioned previously, tonight I want us to focus on who Jesus is. And I've entitled tonight's message, The Need, Identity and Mission of Jesus. So John chapter 6, verse 48 to 51. John 6, 48 to 51. Let's hear God's word. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. This is God's word. Let's seek his blessing upon the word. Oh, our God and our Father, as we come now to hear from your word, we do ask that you would speak to us, that, Lord, you would give us ears to hear what you have to say to us. As we look again tonight at the glories of Christ, may we who are saved be captured by the wonder of Jesus. And may we all leave this chapel tonight saying, what a wonderful Saviour we have. Oh Lord, please be glorified tonight, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, tonight as we come to John chapter 6, we are rejoining the chapter in the middle of a sermon by the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is preaching here. Last time we looked at a section of his sermon. In fact, I think we've taken about 2 to 3 sermons looking at the one sermon of the Lord Jesus. But tonight I want us to focus in on just 3 verses as Christ builds towards the end of his message. We are not going to reach the end of the message, but we are building towards the great climax of what Christ is saying. Now, as we have seen previously in this chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ is preaching to a great multitude. He is preaching to a great crowd, which according to verse 59, has gathered in the synagogue in Capernaum. They didn't have empty seats when the Lord Jesus was preaching on this occasion. It was standing room only. We know it was packed because the crowd that has come to Capernaum to hear Jesus preach is the same crowd that was with him on the hillside when he fed the 5,000 men, not including women and children. So the synagogue would have been bursting at its seams as Jesus preaches the word to them. Now the crowd that has gathered at the synagogue to hear Christ has been the crowd that has followed him throughout the chapter. But as we have seen repeatedly, this crowd has followed Jesus for all the wrong reasons. They are not interested in who Christ is. Rather, they want Jesus to provide physically for them. Yet what has been truly amazing is this. Jesus knows what's in the heart of this crowd. John chapter 2 tells us that Jesus needs no one to tell him what is in man because he knows what is in the heart of man. Jesus knows this crowd is following him for the wrong reason. They have grumbled at him. They have complained about him. Yet what we have seen repeatedly is that Jesus has constantly shown care, compassion, love and kindness towards this crowd. Even though this crowd does not truly believe, Jesus has had compassion upon them. You see, the Lord Jesus has been caring. He has been loving. Now, when we think about the love of Christ, don't assume that Jesus is just walking around saying nice things and patting people on the head saying, I love you. No, the love that Christ is showing here is a love that is not silent. It is not a love that beats around the bush. Rather, Christ has been direct with the crowd. He loves them enough to tell them the truth. You see, love does not stay silent. Love speaks the truth. True kindness tells people what is that which is important, even if the people don't want to hear it. So Jesus shows love and kindness to this crowd by speaking plainly and directly to them. He speaks to the great multitude of the Jews, and the Jews have rejected the message of Christ. In verse 41, we saw that this crowd grumbled, they complained at Christ, and then they attacked the claims and the teaching of Jesus. Yet even though his fellow countrymen are rejecting him, Jesus keeps on showing kindness. Even though the crowds have turned their back upon him and are now attacking him, even though the crowd, as Jesus says, does not know God and is outside of the covenant, Christ still shows kindness to them, and repeatedly he calls on them to believe. He constantly gives them the good news. And he calls on them all to trust in him. You see, what Christ is doing here for the Jews is really a picture of what Christ does for humanity in general. You know, we can't sit in judgment over this crowd and say, how dare you reject Christ, because what they are doing is what we all do naturally. Every single person naturally rejects Christ. We all naturally turn our back on God and do our own thing. And none of us really want to know God if left to our own devices. We are happy not to know God, but what we see is that Jesus keeps pursuing. Jesus keeps going after the unbeliever. Jesus keeps going to the crowd in love, and he calls on them constantly to come to him for life. Now, we can look at the Jews and say, isn't that wonderful what Jesus is doing towards them? But if you're a believer tonight, I would hazard a guess to say that at one point you were just like the Jews, in that you wanted nothing to do with Christ, yet Christ kept pursuing you. Christ kept calling you through the gospel. And eventually, with the cords of love, he drew you to himself. How many times did you hear the gospel before you believed? I lost count of the amount of times I heard the gospel growing up. It'd be thousands of times. Yet Christ never gave up on me. He kept calling. He kept calling. And eventually, I heard. And I believed. And what we see Christ doing with the Jews in this passage is that he calls on them directly and constantly. He declares the truth to them. He doesn't water it down. Christ preaches straight to them. And he tells the Jewish people who prided themselves on their heritage and their identity, he tells them that they don't know God, and if they continue to reject him, if they do not fully embrace him for who he is, that is, if they do not repent and believe, then they will not have life. Rather, they are facing eternal death. Now, to make his point, Jesus appeals to something that most people can relate to. He uses the illustration of bread. Now, throughout John chapter 6, we have seen that Jesus has repeatedly mentioned the need for bread, and more than that, he has stressed that he is the bread that people need. Jesus said constantly throughout this chapter, you need bread, and I am that bread. In verse 33, Jesus said, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then in verse 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. So Jesus has been mentioning the fact that he is bread repeatedly, and guess what? The crowd didn't like it. The crowds couldn't accept it. In fact, if you go back to verse 41, you see that this claim of being bread is what made the Jews grumble and complain. Now, the reason they grumble and complain, or should I say one of the reasons they grumble and complain, is because they don't want the spiritual bread of Jesus. They don't want Christ. Rather, what these Jews want, this crowd in the synagogue wants, They want physical bread. They wanted temporary bread that would fill their bellies for a day. This is why back in verse 31, the Jews mentioned to Jesus their fathers who had manna while in the wilderness. They pointed back to Exodus chapter 16, back to their fathers, and they say, hang on, when our fathers were hungry in the wilderness, God provided bread for them to eat. God met their physical needs. And now this crowd says, well, what's different between our fathers and us? Just like God gave bread physically back then in the wilderness wandering, then surely he should give us physical bread now. And they turn to Jesus and say, we don't want you. We're not interested in you and your claims. Rather, we want you to give us physical bread. See, the crowds aren't interested in Christ. They're interested in having their needs, their bellies filled. Yet Jesus focuses on something more important. You see, physical needs are important, but what Jesus stresses is that the people have a greater need than just filling their stomach. You see, what this people needed was to have their spiritual hunger filled. They need Jesus to address their lack of spiritual life. So that's the scene that Jesus is speaking into. And with that in mind, I want us to think about what Christ says about himself here. I want us to spend most of our time this evening focusing on the words of Jesus in verse 48, when Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Now that is a very short statement, it's only a handful of words, but that short statement, I am the bread of life, is packed full of wonderful truth that we need to heed. First, I want you to notice from this passage the need for Jesus. I want you to notice the need for Jesus. Now when we understand that Jesus is the bread of life, immediately we should see that what Christ is saying to the crowds and indeed to us is that if we want life, then we need him. That should be the first thing that jumps out to us. Jesus says, I am the bread of life, and the implication is if you don't have him, you don't have life. There is a need for Jesus. Now, bread is a staple in most homes and in most culture. For thousands of years, people have eaten bread. We need bread for life. And Jesus is saying, just like you need bread to live, so you need me to have life. You see, Christ is saying to the Jews here and to us that if we want to know true life, if we want to have spiritual life, if we want eternal life, then we need him, the bread of life. Now, inbuilt in Jesus' statement is the implication that if you don't take the bread of life, if you don't take Jesus, then there is no life for you. There is no spiritual life. There is no eternal life. And indeed, we see this truth taught throughout the Scripture. Apart from Jesus, there is no life. That is a teaching that is clear as day in the Word of God. You must have Christ if you are going to have spiritual life. Without him, you are dead spiritually. You are dead in your sins. But with him, you have life everlasting. Now, we may think that we have life apart from Jesus, and indeed we do have physical life apart from him, but spiritually we are all dead. We're cut off from God, and we naturally are heading on the road to hell. We're heading towards eternal death. Now, this road that we are on, this eternal death that we are facing, has come about quite simply because we have turned our back on the source of life. We have rebelled against God. We've chosen to go our own way, but the amazing good news of the gospel, the kindness we see from God, is that Jesus comes along to the people who are on the road to eternal death. He stands amongst the crowds who are marching headlong into hell, and he says, "I am the bread of life. You are on the road to death. I am the bread of life. If you are going to live," Jesus says, "you need me." Now, to illustrate the point to the Jews, what Christ does is he grabs a hold of the illustration the Jews have already mentioned. He takes them back to Exodus chapter 16. The Jews have already mentioned their fathers in the wilderness, and Jesus says, "Okay, let's talk about that. Let me illustrate my truth through Exodus 16. You see, for 40 years in the wilderness, the forefathers of these Jews had wandered aimlessly because they had rebelled against God. But during that 40-year wandering, God had been faithful to them. He had kept his covenant promises, and he provided for them. That is why Jesus says in verse 49, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. Jesus says, think about that. God provided bread for your fathers in the wilderness. Now, no doubt when Jesus said that, the Jews in the crowd would say, he's finally getting it. That's what we've been pushing for. We want this bread. But then Christ shows that this bread was only temporal. It only provided physical life for a short period of time. Because Jesus then says, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. They got the physical needs provided for. They had their bread. But they're dead now. You see, the crowd standing here in front of Jesus said, that's the sort of bread we want. And Jesus says, that sort of bread may look after you for a time, but you're still going to die. The fathers, they died. But Jesus says, now standing before you is a greater bread. A bread that promises life, not just now, but for all eternity. Notice what it says in verse 50 to 51. Jesus says, this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. You want the temporary? You want the manna from heaven like your fathers had? They ate and they died. But I am the bread of life, whereas if you come to me, if you embrace me, if you take me, then you will have life forever. Jesus says, I am the bread which came down from heaven. I am the better and greater manna. I am the one who has come down from heaven. If you will eat of me, you will live. You won't be like your fathers. You'll have something much greater. Now, in this statement of Christ is a stark warning to the Jews. He is saying, you're rejecting me. You're grumbling about me. You're complaining about me. You're not believing in me. Therefore, you don't have life. You're just like the fathers. You will die. The fathers who wandered in the wilderness, they were rebels. They hadn't believed the promises of God, so they never got to go into the promised land. And Jesus is saying, you're just like them. You're rebelling against God, and because you reject me, you will not get into the promised land of glory. You will not get into the promised land of the New Jerusalem of heaven. Jesus is saying, don't be like them. I am the manna. I am the bread which comes down from heaven. Don't reject me. So Jesus is saying to the Jews who prided themselves on their religiosity that all their efforts, all their religion, all the things that they have done mean absolutely nothing because they are rejecting him. It doesn't matter how much scripture they knew. It does not matter that they could quote Exodus chapter 16 and explain how God provided manna in the wilderness. It doesn't matter that previously they said nice things about Jesus Christ says, if you do not come to me, if you do not take me as the bread of life, then you will be damned. You will be lost. You will have death eternally. But if you come in repentance and faith, if you take me, the bread of life, you will have eternal life. This is a stark warning to the Jews, but there's also a warning to us. Remember, John's gospel is written so that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. There's a warning for us. There's a warning for people today as well. You see, there's a movement in our culture today that is complete and total stupidity that says no matter what you believe, all roads lead to God. That's a common thought. I have spoken to people who would say to me, Islam and Christianity, they both teach the same thing. If you say that or think that, that tells me that, one, you're ignorant of Islam and you're ignorant of Christianity. Because they don't teach the same thing. But that's the mindset of our world. Everyone can believe whatever they want, and eventually we're all going to get to heaven anyway. You can believe whatever you feel like, they say. When you die, you will trot off to heaven. It will be fine for you. But Jesus says it won't be heaven for you. It will be hell. It won't be eternal bliss. It will be eternal suffering. It won't be eternal life. It will be eternal death. Why? Because they have not taken of the bread of life. See, verse 51, Jesus says, if people want life, they must eat of him. Now, despite what the Roman Catholics believe and teach, Jesus is not literally calling on people to munch on him. He's not saying, come and have a bite. No, he is talking spiritually here. He is using an analogy. He is saying, just like you take bread and you eat bread, so you must take Jesus. Just like you reach out and you take a hold of the bread, so you must reach out and take a hold of Jesus. To use the biblical theological language, Jesus is saying, you have to turn and reach for me. You have to repent and believe. And if you would turn to Jesus and believe, reach out and trust in him, then you will have life. And Christ says, unless you do that, you will perish. That means the Jews in our passage who reject Jesus, they will perish. That means the people in our society who do not come to the Lord Jesus, they will perish. There are not many types of bread that we can come to. It's not like a buffet of bread where we can choose our own bread of life. No, there is only one bread of life. There is only one bread which comes down from heaven. There is only one way of salvation. There is no other name given under heaven by which men must be saved. There is only one hope, and that is Jesus. And Christ says that. All philosophies, all religions, all spiritualities do not lead to life. They lead to death. Only Christ and Christ alone leads to life. So there is the need of Jesus inbuilt in the statement, I am the bread of life. But next I want you to notice from the text the identity of Jesus. The identity of Christ. You see, as Jesus says, I am the bread of life, the Jews would have heard him a little bit differently to what we hear. We hear, I am the bread of life. And our first focus goes on the bread of life. That's why we started by looking at the need of Jesus. The Jews wouldn't have thought that way. You see, when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, one of the first things they would have noticed is that Jesus is making a declaration as to who he is. And we need to understand who Christ is. There is much confusion today over the identity of Jesus. Some people say that he is a prophet or a teacher. Others see him as an enlightened man. However, as we look at the scripture, we see the Bible says he is much more than any of that. What we see here in this statement, I am the bread of life, is Jesus declaring that the reason he can give eternal life is because he is God. When Jesus says, I am the bread of life, he's identifying himself as God. He is saying, I am God. Now perhaps you look at your text and you go, I'm not sure I agree with you there. I can't quite see that in the passage. Where is Jesus claiming divinity in the statement, I am the bread of life? Well, let me show you where he's claiming it. It's in the first two words. I am. I am. You see, what we have here is the first I am statement of Jesus. Throughout the Gospel of John, when Jesus uses the I am statement, he is declaring his divinity. He is declaring that he is God. And the Jews understood this. In fact, we know the Jews understood this because this is one of the reasons they grumble and complain back in verse 41. Jesus says, I am, and they say, hang on a second. You can't be I am because Joseph and Mary are your parents. They say, you can't come down from heaven. You can't be eternal. Only God's eternal. We know your mum and we know your dad. The Jews understood what Jesus was driving at. They knew that Jesus was claiming eternality and divinity. When he says, I am, Jesus is saying, I am God. And the reason the Jews understood it, and we often miss it, is because the Jews understood their Old Testament. The Jews understood the Old Testament. They studied the Scripture. A good Jewish boy grew up learning the Word of God. From the earliest days, they learned the Torah, they learned the Pentateuch, they learned the Prophet, they learned the Psalms, they learned all the religious writings. They studied their Bibles. And as they grew up studying the Bibles, the Jews would have come across Exodus chapter 3. And in Exodus chapter 3, we read the account of Moses and the burning bush. Now in that passage, God commands Moses to go back to Egypt in order to rescue his people, to deliver the Hebrews from captivity. But Moses says, I don't want to do that. And if I do that, who do I say has sent me? And in verse 14 of Exodus chapter 3, listen to what God says. Verse 14, Exodus 3. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. God speaking to Moses says, go to the children of Israel and declare that you come in the name of I am. That is the name God chose to reveal himself by. I am. And the Jews knew that. So when Jesus stands before them and says, I am the bread of life, they would have instantly understood the claim that was being made. And we know they understood that claim because as we go through John's Gospel, these I am statements constantly rile up the Jews. For instance, if you go across to John chapter 8, verse 57 to 58, we see that Jesus tells the Jews about their hero of the faith, Abraham. And Jesus says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. But the Jews looked at him and they see him as a young man and they say to Christ, you are not yet 50 years old and have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And there's the I am again. Well, how did the Jews respond to this claim? Did they understand what he was saying? Well, absolutely. In verse 59 it says, then they took up stones to throw at him. The Jews wanted to kill him. Why did they want to kill him? Because he claimed to be God. And we see this pattern repeated in John 10, 31 to 33, which says, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. See, the Jews understood what Jesus was saying. I am, he's claiming divinity. I am, Jesus is revealing his identity. And we need to realize that when Jesus makes this statement, I am the bread of life, he is claiming to be God, and as such, he is the only source of life. You see, the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is God the Son, the second person of the Trinity. He is the eternal God who has no beginning and no end. He is truly God and truly man. He is the God who has come down into our existence in order to bring us life. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the bread of heaven that comes to bring life to sinful humanity. You see, this is why Jesus is our only hope. We don't need a good teacher. We don't need a guru. We need God to rescue us. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Or as he says in verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Jesus is saying, I am the eternal God. And this is why I have come. You want to know who I am? I am. I'm God. So we have the need of Jesus. We have the identity of Jesus. But third, I want you to notice the mission of Jesus. You see, as we look at our passage, we should be struck by the fact that Jesus is making some wonderful claims about himself. It's wonderful and true for him to say that he is God and that he gives life. Jesus has told the Jews, and indeed he tells us, that we need him for life. And if we don't come to him, then we won't have life. But the next question that must arise is this. How does Jesus give us life? How does Jesus give us life? The mission of Jesus is to give life, but how does he do so? Well, to answer that question, we need to think about why we need the bread of life. We need to think back to our need. You see, the reason we need the bread of life is because naturally we don't have spiritual life. The Bible says we are all born in sin, and from our early age we go astray. The Bible says we continue in our life of sin and rebellion. We turn our back on God and do our own thing. The Scripture declares that none of us seek after God, and we are all naturally enemies of God. The Bible shouts at us that we are hostile towards God and that our minds are hostile and darkened towards our Creator, that we are a people who have sinned and we have spurned God's law. And because of that rebellion, all of us deserve the judgment of God. We are all guilty of treason against the God who made us. And as a result, all of us will appear before the judgment seat of Christ and none of us will escape. We must understand our need. We're guilty, condemned, because God is holy and good, and we are not. He is perfection, we are not. And he must punish sinners as a good judge. A good judge punishes wrongdoing, which creates a massive problem for us because we are the corrupt ones. Because of our sin, the Bible says the wages of our sin is death. The soul that sins it shall die. Here's the need. But Jesus comes along and he says to the people in that state, he says to you and I, he says to humanity, even though you deserve judgment, even though you are under the wrath of God and you deserve hell forever, Jesus says, I am the bread of life, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Jesus makes a promise. He says, my mission is to save people. My reason for coming down from heaven is so that you, the guilty, might go free. The mission of Christ was to come into the world to save sinners. The mission of Jesus is to save the lost. But how does Jesus do that? How does he do that? Well, the final words in verse 51 tells us how. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, and I shall give for the life of the world. Jesus says, here's how you can have life. Here's how I can rescue you. Here's how I can fulfill my mission. The bread is my flesh. And I'm going to give my life for the world. Jesus is talking about the cross. You see, Jesus was born to die. The Saviour comes from heaven to give life. But the only way life could be given was by the innocent dying for the guilty. And as Christians, we have heard that so many times that we can actually lose the shock of that statement. We have the need. We're guilty, condemned criminals. But Jesus leaves the glory of heaven. He comes down here as the bread of life and he gives his life for us. Do we realize how shocking that is? The just dying for the unjust? The innocent dying for the guilty? That's the mission of Jesus. Several years ago, I saw in a very graphic display, and it's not something I would use or recommend using, but I remember how shocking it was. It was illustrated graphically just how shocking the statement is that Jesus came to rescue us. And what it was a Christmas pageant at a church. And we all seen those Christmas pageants. They're nice, they're sheep, they're shepherd. There's a child playing Mary and Joseph, and they have this baby doll that they're holding close, and that's meant to be Jesus, and they're singing of carols in the background. And everyone sits there going, oh, isn't it warm and fuzzy, it's Christmas. But as we watched this Christmas pageant, that wasn't the shocking part. The shocking part came when two Roman soldiers walked in from the edge of the stage. They walked up to Mary and Joseph, ripped the baby out of their hand, took that baby and nailed it to the cross. And there was a gasp throughout the auditorium as that was displayed. No one expected that at Christmas. It was shocking. Yet that's exactly what Jesus did. He is the bread which comes down from heaven. He is born as a babe in Bethlehem, the house of bread, just as aside. He's born in Bethlehem. But he has come with the mission of saving the lost. And the way he fulfills that mission is by giving his flesh. The giving of his life upon the cross. That image of the baby nailed to the cross stirs us and say, this isn't right. This is shocking. This is terrible. Yet that's what Christ did. The Christ of the cradle is the Christ of the cross. And he says here to the Jews, the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The sin that people have committed from all different backgrounds and languages and countries, that sin says death and judgment, no life. But Christ comes. He comes into the world and he says, I love you. I care for sinners. I will take the punishment sin demands. Sin demands death. Jesus dies for people from all backgrounds, languages and countries. He dies to rescue a people for himself. He gives his flesh as a life for the world. You see, on the cross, Jesus fulfilled his mission because he died for sinners. And then he rose again from the dead. He says, my flesh has been given, my life has been given up. And now there's life for you, if you will take it. the mission of Christ is to die. The bread of life came and he was nailed to the cross. His body was cast into a borrowed tomb. But then 3 days later he rose again, and now he says, come and eat. Come and take me, just like you would take bread. Come to me by faith. Turn from your sin. And take me just as you would take bread. You would take bread for life. You would eat bread to live. Jesus says, take me and have spiritual life. That is the mission of Jesus. Tonight we have seen from these three verses the need, the identity, and the mission of Jesus. And as we look at what Christ has said, as we look at the claims that Christ has made about himself, we have to wrestle with, have I taken of this bread? Have I eaten of Jesus? Have I come to him in repentance and faith? And I would be failing in my duty if I did not ask all those in this chapel, and indeed those listening online, have you taken Christ by faith? Are you trusting in him? Christ says he is God, he offers life, and that life is found only in him. We need Jesus. He offers us life. He is the bread of life. Have you trusted in him? Have you taken him by faith? And said, Lord, I'm going to take you because I need you. I need you for the forgiveness of sins. I need you for life everlasting. Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Let's pray. Oh, our God and our Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the God who speaks. We do praise you tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. We see our need. We see the identity of our Saviour. And we've seen his work and his mission completed. Lord, tonight may we who are believers be captured again by just the amazing grace and love that you have shown. May we be shocked all over again at what Christ has done for us. And may we have gratitude for him. But for those who are listening who are yet to be saved, Lord, we pray that tonight they would come to Jesus, that they would take of him, that they would eat, that they would believe, that they would turn from their sins and run to Christ, saying, you must save. And you alone. Oh Lord, may many take of Jesus, and may they know the Saviour. We pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.